Baptist influence among the Indian tribes, specifically the Creek Nation of Indians. And the first witness of among Baptists among the Indians of America was by Roger Williams. And Roger Williams is the man who began either the first or second Baptist church in America, depending on who you read. But so the famous Roger Williams left that church that he started in Rhode Island and then went westward into the wilderness of Pennsylvania and really witnessed and lived among the Indians. He shared the gospel. He lived in their wigwams with them made an effort to bring the gospel to the Indians there in Pennsylvania. Extensive missionary efforts weren't really begun until about 1817 by the then three-year-old Baptist Convention, a General Baptist Convention. And in 1823, missionary work was started among the Creek tribe, and we're going to talk about that today, and a man that is integral to that ministry. Joseph Islands was born into the Creek tribe in the colony of Georgia. His boyhood was spent in Alabama, and it was there that he first heard the gospel, and it affected his life. He actually was a very rough, bad boy, and he was in a fight and pulled a knife on a guy and was really about to kill him, and somebody stepped in, a Christian man as it turns out, stepped in and wrestled him to the ground, threw the knife away, and kind of spirited him away, and actually raised, had him live with him for a while, had Joseph live with him for a while. Now, Joseph rejected that Christian testimony and later ran away, but there was some Christian influence early in his life, and that man really saved him from probably going to prison for the rest of his life or even the death, dying, being executed. But as he grew into manhood, he became even worse as a young man. He played the violin and was very, very good at it. Well, that made him very, important at the local dances. And the dances then would turn into these drunken brawls. And so it was a rough life he lived. And one night, during one of these drunken brawls, his best friend was killed. And the next day, it's interesting how the Lord uses these things in our lives. And the next day, he went to the gravesite of that best friend. His heart is broken. He's having great remorse because he had begun the fight that his friend died in. And interestingly enough, the Lord had laid this all out, but a Christian slave had been assigned to dig the grave, and his name was Old Billy. And he saw the distress and the remorse of this young man, and he began to share the gospel with Joseph. He talked about the subject of death, and of course Indians talk about the great beyond, and he used that to turn it to a talk of eternity and a resurrection of Jesus. Joseph wasn't saved at that moment, but his heart was stirred, and he went back to the cabin where old Billy lived, and in a couple of days Billy had led him to the Lord. Now, at that time in the Creek Nation, the tribal councils had imposed a very stringent law concerning Christianity, and they said that anybody who was found engaged in Christian worship was to be severely beaten with 39 lashes, which would be administered by the police. And that law continued for another 3 years. But so it was important that for Joseph Islands and Old Billy, they studied and prayed and grew as Christians secretly, actually, because they knew what would happen if their faith was found out. But after a while, they couldn't keep silent. They were witnessing to their friends, and soon they had gathered a little group together, and that group eventually numbered about 30 people. It was slowly becoming a church. And so the authorities were alerted to this group, and the mounted police were encouraged or urged to be vigilant and to find these Christians. But these Indian Christians were cunning, and they were difficult to catch. They would meet in different places, and they would hide for their services. And in fact, on one occasion, there's a story about a spy that the police had put together. He lay in the woods nearby where they were meeting. And he heard Joseph Islands praying for his people. He heard him praying for the people that were trying to persecute them. He prayed for the police, for the spies that the police had out there. In fact, Islands called the very name of that hidden agent by name. And, of course, the Lord used that. A great sense of guilt overcame that spy. The next day, he came to their church meeting, and he stood up, and he said and testified that he had been overcome with conviction, and soon he was led to the Lord. But they weren't always as successful. In fact, one important day, the entire group was surrounded and captured, and one by one, they were led away to receive this penalty of 39 stripes. Each of the Christians was led away, even the women, and given this terrible beating. And the captain that was beating them tried to shame them, but they endured the beatings and praised the Lord through that. It was really a terrible time. But the next day, the captain and several of his men resigned their positions because they could not whip these people for praying and loving Jesus, they said. And so it was a very difficult time to be a Christian in the Creek Nation in the 1800s. But Later, this eventually started to subside because more and more people were becoming saved. In fact, more and more prominent members of the Indian tribe were becoming converted. One conversion of a man named Chili McIntosh, who was one of the wealthiest chiefs of the nation, he was saved in his family. And right after that, the Indian Council met and decided to repeal that law that was against Christianity. So Joseph Islands, in those 3 years, became known as the apostle to the Creeks. And interestingly enough, he had just moved into a new house. He had built a house. He moved into that new house when that law was repealed, and he immediately moved back into his old house and made that house the church that he would start right then. So officially now they could start a church legally, and that became the very first house of worship in the Creek Nation. From that time, Joseph Islands gave himself to continually knocking on doors, house-to-house evangelism. In 1845, he was ordained by two missionaries, and he served the Lord there. Now, sadly, at least humanly speaking, sadly, he was only to live 3 more years. So his life from as a Christian was only 6 years long, 3 years during that persecution and 3 years after it. And, you know, again, I say humanly speaking because the Lord knows exactly what he's doing, but this faithful man served the Lord for 6 years as the apostle to the Creeks, and yet hundreds and hundreds of people were saved, and who knows the churches that were started because of those hundreds of people that were that lived, of course, past his death. But he died on March 8th, 1848, and went to be with the Lord. One of his favorite verses, and which really was lived out in his life, was as Paul said in Corinthians, said, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And certainly this man lived a wonderful 6 years of Christian life and saw the Lord use him. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for Joseph Islands and his ministry there to the Creek Nation.